And we're back with another episode, special edition actually, of Extra Credit. We haven't done one of these in a long while, but this is the episode where we kind of lay back from the notes, talk a little bit from the top of our head, and kind of poke fun at Spencer.
Wow, good. I'm so glad these are back.
No, we're not going to poke fun at Spencer.
I would never.
I would, but still.
Yeah.
No, we decided to do this because with the recent drop of the Marvel's Endgame trailer, the most recent one, and with Captain Marvel already being a couple weeks into the past and Endgame right near into the future and some announcements and conversations that were happening on the higher ups in Marvel, we figured we would come together and bring our minds to the table and talk a bit about the state of Marvel. And when we mean Marvel, we mean the cinematic aspect. We're not going to go deep into the comic book aspect because I'm just going to be frank. I haven't followed up with anything that Marvel's been doing in terms of comics as of late. So
I don't know.
You're not ready
either
for the War of the Realms?
What?
War of the Realms.
What?
It's the big event.
Oh, man. That sounds wild.
It's Thor based. Thor is having a heyday right now in the comics. So
oh, really?
Just saying.
Huh.
Jason Aaron is a genius.
Well, there you go. Well, let's kind of transition from comics to something that me and Spence can talk about in the movie realm. So we just kicked off the ending of Captain Marvel. We are now well into the middle ground, kind of like the limbo, if you will, between Captain Marvel and the highly anticipated Avengers Endgame. And they just dropped another trailer for the film that gives a lot more information than the previous trailer. Because in the previous trailers, so if you haven't seen it, who hasn't seen it? Spencer hasn't seen
no,
the
trailer. I've seen the trailer.
I'm just making sure. Hey, you're not my dad. So in this trailer, it gives a little bit more information on just who actually is a part of the team.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, okay, go ahead and give your warning that you had stated before we went on the air.
Oh, like Marvel trailers now are a bunch of fake news. Like ever since they scrubbed out like the extra Infinity
Worst
Stones
deal ever
from Infinity Wars trailer, like now I'm suspicious of everything they're showing me.
He's suspicious. And it's true. I mean, you got a point because everybody thought Hulk was going to be a big part of the Infinity War film. Even other prior trailers that they kind of did the sneaky thing and went one route and went the other, like with the whole thing with Thor Ragnarok, like, oh, he had both of his eyes. Wait, in the movie, he's lost one. Hey, you know, that whole thing as well. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. As much as I still want to have some type of discretion and care coming into these trailers, I really just want everything that happens in these trailers to happen in the movie. Because this is one of those movies that you're like, okay, this is honestly the end of an era for a film franchise. We're not talking like the end of a trilogy. We're not talking the end of a saga, like, you know, the Rocky films. This isn't part six. We're not talking about the end of like some type of Godfather film franchise. This is the culmination of over 22 films put together into one like era. That's really the only way you can put it. You know, this one long journey, and it's the hope that I have that like everything that I'm seeing is thus far in the film. Like if there's somebody who's been digitally edited out, I'm fine with that. But everything that I'm seeing so far, I'm hoping is in the movie.
Like they're not adding a scene that just never appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be wild. A whole trailer is a bunch of scenes that never happen.
That'd be horrendous. It's like, oh, by the way, that's the other world trailer. So you know, the other parallel universe. Ha ha, got you. But honestly, we still have yet to even have any inkling as to how Endgame is going to progress. Like, we don't know what the plan is. We just know of theories and some of the elements of the film that are going to make up Endgame. Like, we know quantum, you know, the quantum realm is going to play a part of that. Mm-hmm. We know they get new fancy suits. We know they get haircuts and color dyed, you know, in their hair. You know, we know that, you know, at one point Tony is on this distant ship. And then in the most recent trailer, Tony's with the team. And I'm just, you
allegedly.
Know. Allegedly.
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 That's where you don't know. You can't know. Like, yeah, you just, it's not set in stone.
He's a hologram, Tony.
What, now that they're willing to doctor things to, like, confuse and misdirect you, everything is just kind of up in the air.
So then that even like makes the whole point moot of like making trailers now, because nobody's going to want to watch it if everybody's going to be like, oh, that's cool. Wait.
Well, no, I'll believe it if it's anything but like, you know, a Marvel Comics based movie. But once it's them, I'm like,
oh, that's what I mean. For them, like for them, what's the point of them making a trailer after all? Everyone would be like, yeah, that was great, but that was nowhere in the movie. You know, like it's just I don't know what's the point in. Now I'm flustered because like I want a lot of the stuff that happens in these trailers to actually come to fruition to be great. But I everything that I saw in this last Endgame trailer, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay, that's cool. Like this last Endgame trailer really pushed this, you know, whole. You know, team dynamic of whatever it takes. You know, that was kind of the mantra, if you will, of the entire Avengers that were currently there. Everybody saying all together, you know, whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes. You know, we're going to fix the world, whatever it takes. Which is cool because then, you know, it's like an all or nothing type mission, which tends to be the case for most of the Marvel films either way. But, I mean, it just seems more like, oh, but the stakes are high. In this one. And I like that. I mean, it's just coolio.
Well, I mean, they are. They're higher than they've ever been.
Exactly.
Half of the living beings in the universe was just snapped away.
Yeah.
Decimated.
So what are some of the... So I'm gonna now lean towards our resident comic book expert.
Oh, boy.
Professor Chad Riley. Mm. And what essentially are going to be some of like the directions... What do you think, personally, are going to be some of the directions they take with this film for Endgame? Because obviously... If you've seen any of the magazines on stands, you know Empire did a full front page thing for the Endgame film with this huge spread of Thanos as, you know, in his full like armor, and it looked pretty awesome. Like he's in full regalia of like the armor and the gauntlet is in his hands and whatnot. Yes, Spence, I know they did the same thing with Thor and when they did the Thor Ragnarok thing and he had both his eyes.
Okay.
I know. But, like, you get that. So, you know, in this film, Thor is going to play. I mean, Thor. Thanos has, you know, a much bigger role.
Oh, don't worry. Thor is going to play a role, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you really think? Okay. So, I'm going to throw this.
For sure.
I'm going to throw this ball in your court. Where do you think it's going to go? Because I'm honestly at a loss. I thought that pretty much would have. And I mean, I know how the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, I know how that ends. And it ended pretty much how the way Infinity War ended, minus the resolution part.
Well, and the big thing that's different from the comics to here is essentially the Galactic Savior character doesn't exist yet. In the MCU, right? Adam Warlock is sort of the counterpoint to Thanos, and we've had him teased, but he's not actually here as far as we know, unless Elizabeth Debicki, you know, like opens the cocoon coffin thing and there he is. But that would be too contrived at this point. It would be like the Deus Ex Machina kind of moment that's like, oh, really? But I wanted to root for these people.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you've got Carol Danvers. So
it's true.
She's essentially like a cosmic messiah by the end of her movie that we saw a week ago and talked about. But so they're not like hurting for a character that can do it. It's just not the character that did it in the comics, which leaves you guessing. Like it's very healthy to have something that in some respects hews very closely to the comics and in other respects doesn't have the option to only pull from the comics.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got... Because you've also got characters that aren't there anymore that people really liked. And they're like, okay, so we understand. Like, you know, Black Panther's coming back. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's coming back. Doctor Strange is coming back. Like, they're not staying dead because they have sequels already in the works.
That'd be really awkward if they did stay dead somehow.
Especially Spider-Man. His sequel comes out about 2 months, 3 months later.
Yeah, that's very true.
But... So you know that they're coming back somehow, and then you're just puzzling over the how.
Yeah.
And I think it's really healthy that you don't know. They've left so many roads open. I mean, you've got time travel because that's been referenced several times. You've got the quantum realm, which also might involve time travel because of what Michelle Pfeiffer said in Ant-Man and the Wasp last summer, right? Yeah. Time vortices. in the quantum realm, obviously these new suits...
You get stuck in a time vortex, so we can't get you out.
These new suits borrow heavily from the design of Ant-Man's suit in terms of the way that they physically, visually appear. So, you know, they could be space suits. They could be quantum realm suits. You've got Captain Marvel, right, who is, as we've learned from her movie, spoiler alert, she, in this version, she gained her power from the Tesseract. From the Space Stone.
Yeah.
So, like, she, to some degree, is an embodiment of the dominant stone that we've seen over and over and over and over and over again. We've seen the other ones kind of in fits and starts. But the Space Stone has been the main one that we've been familiar with over many, many movies now, including hers. But then you've got the quality of the trailer as well, which takes archival, quote unquote, historic footage from other movies, washes it out in grayscale and pops the red.
Yeah.
In the movie verse, red is the reality stone, which hasn't really been much of a focus at all. So it's sort of like, did Loki do something with the Tesseract before he gave it over? Doctor Strange for sure did something with the Time Stone before he gave it over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did Gamora have some sort of influence over the Soul Stone? Because she's obviously still in it in some form as a little girl.
Yeah.
Like, so does her intent have something to do with how it does or doesn't work? You know, and, but then like the Reality Stone hasn't really been looked at very much. But now you've got all the red. I mean, the red could also mean, like, you know, blood, death, you know, passion, whatever. Red
or the Marvel color.
A lot of things. Yeah, that's true. You know, but it could be a reference to, oh, actually, one of the stones that you're not thinking about at all is going to have something to do with all of this, you know, because then you get into, like, well, where has the red one been? Well, Natalie Portman is not in this movie, so that's not an option, but Benicio del Toro.
And she ain't coming back.
No. Benicio del Toro had it for a while before he had the purple one, the Power Stone, in his collection. Like, did he do something with it? I don't know. I mean, he was in Infinity War and gone, but, you know, it's just they've left so many possibilities still open that they could go in one of the directions that we've been anticipating, or they could go with something totally different, because a lot of the reason why people have put a huge focus on time travel is because when they were filming the movie, they have numerous set photos of the actors in different old costumes, hair and makeup that seem to mimic sequences that we've seen in the older films.
Yeah.
But does it have to be time travel that does that? It could be reality. It could be mind. It could be a memory thing. I mean, Scarlet Witch does this thing with them in Age of Ultron that messes with their minds. I mean, it's just, they're actually, granted, usually the simplest solution is the one that tends to be correct.
You quoting Occam's Razor here?
Yeah, Occam's Razor. But they have a lot of possibility that they could do, you know, to get to the things that we've already seen evidence of. They could actually get there a number of different ways. And that still doesn't answer how it's all going to shake out, which is what everybody wants to know the most.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, see, all that you just said, that was things I wasn't even thinking about. Like, in terms of, like, the red and all that, I just thought they were like, oh, hey, similar color palette design. Okay, cool. You know, the one common thread that runs through everybody's storyline kind of thing. But the Reality Stone, that does make sense. What do you think, Spence, in terms of, like, so far the state of where Marvel has come to and where they could be going with this one? Like, what do you want to see happen in this next Endgame film?
Oh, I have no idea. See, the thing is, like, Chad's 100% right. Like, I know so little about, like, Marvel, and they have so many paths open to them that I honestly have no idea where this movie is going, which is kind of really exciting, because usually with some movies, you, like, have a vague idea. Like, the vague idea here is they're going to beat him, bring back people, and then some people are going to die. That's, like, the generalized, like, idea I have for this
that's
movie.
That's like everybody's basic underlying thought of what's going to happen.
Yeah, but besides that, no idea. And it's actually really exciting.
Yeah.
We've also had interviews where they've said, well, the thing that, that happens in this movie that, you know, people may not expect is that there's a threat bigger than Thanos. You know, so
who said that?
No, they've said that a number of times. So it's like, what is the part that you haven't even seen yet? There are opportunities in the comics.
Galactus is
like
coming.
Galore, right?
Yes.
But given what we know is on, you know, Marvel Studios pegboard of ideas yet to be developed. You know, there are some strong possibilities. Some people are even wondering, like, do they have to go get Thanos to join the Avengers to fight something else? You know, doubtful, but it's not completely impossible.
Yeah.
We don't know very much at all. They've been very successful keeping stuff under wraps. And they're apparently, the Russo brothers have said numerous times that in terms of what we see in trailers, including this one, is only pulled from the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, which was confirmed by Kevin Feige on the red carpet by MTV News.
And the movie's more than 3 hours long, allegedly. So
yeah,
that gives a lot of room beyond what we've seen.
Well, because they still have yet to give the official runtime for the film. And I think that's
very odd.
That's going to be a very big indicator as to like what we should expect in terms of that film. In terms of enormity, like, yes, you could have still such, you know, as big of a film and it being only like 2 hours long or 2.5 hours long, but you're looking at something over 3 hours. That's like Cecil DeMille's like epic long. This is like 10 commandments long. Like, this thing should come with an intermission, you know.
It really should.
Pee break, everybody. Last Stanley cameo is like,
could you imagine though?
True believers, go
honestly,
bathroom.
Honestly, could you imagine if they actually paused this movie in the middle for an intermission? I think people would be livid.
They would be.
Livid.
No
for
no
you
doubt.
To break up the momentum. Like, people go to the bathroom before, and if you can't hold it, then get more than one ticket
or wear
for
a diaper.
More than one day or wear a diaper.
I've seen that episode of The Big Bang Theory. They were in line to go see the Raiders of the Lost Ark on original film, 88mm or whatever, and somebody had a catheter. So, like, sometimes you just go to the extreme to see what you want, you know?
You do what you need to do.
But it's just...
Well, really, you shouldn't.
Don't naysay this, Spencer. Get on board.
Exactly. You know, it's just... It's one of those things where it's like, with this movie and with everything that's coming down the pipeline, like you were saying, the already confirmed sequels, like Doctor Strange, you know, obviously the Spider-Man one, Guardians of the Galaxy, which just sees James Gunn come back to the director's chair. That's going to be interesting.
Which the timing of their announcement is very advantageous to them. Obviously, they've known for a lot longer, but yeah.
Especially since they didn't apparently look for another director.
No. Well, and his brother, who stands in for Rocket, you know, as the actor, and he's what's his face in the Marauders, but
yeah,
like, he basically said around Christmas time, wasn't it, like, I think everything's gonna work out. So they just waited to announce it until now.
Yeah, because it's one thing to they may have just like did it just to make a statement, like, no, we're not gonna stand for this, but at the same time, it was in the past, we're gonna move forward with the future, and James Gunn's the man to do it. Like, that could have totally been the conversation. They're like, James, we know what this is going to look like. Just bear with us. We're going to sit you down. We're going to separate ourselves from you for a little bit. It's kind of like time out as a teacher. Chad was a teacher. I was a teacher. You may know this. Like, you know, listen, you're not doing well, so I'm going to separate myself from you. You need to just go and think about what you did. And I'm going to be over here for a second. And when I'm ready, I will come back to you. You know, that whole situation with James Gunn, they put him in a corner. You know, don't put baby in a corner, though. And he's now doing evil Superman with Brightburn. And, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's so good. That one looks great.
But it's like him coming back into the fold, them announcing it, and everybody on, like, I think you're right. Like, I think around Christmas time is when the chatter from the actual cast started dying down.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember hearing anything. Like, Dave Bautista was very vocal. Zoe Saldana was very vocal. Chris Pratt had mentioned something as well. There were several of them that had actually voiced, even other Marvel actors and actresses had voiced their disapproval of, like, oh, well, you know, the Guardians are, you know, are nothing without James Gunn, blah, 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 whatever. So I think that's advantageous for them.
Well,
as well,
the controversy over, like, well, he already finished the script, so are they going to use his script but not him? And, you know, it's worked out in a very interesting manner.
Yeah. And I mean, even with the stuff they have, like I'm looking at all the stuff they have coming down the road. Like we mentioned Black Widow in the last episode where we were talking about Captain Marvel. Black Widow has a solo film coming out as well. Black Panther 2, Doctor Strange 2, obviously, like I said, the Spider-Man movie. There's a focus going to be on, you know, the Eternals, which is more of a cosmic focus than it is.
Which is a really interesting decision, but it's fine.
I know nothing of that. But like
most people don't. That's why it's so interesting. Like, oh, well, you went with those guys? Okay.
Well, weren't the Guardians of the Galaxy before the first movie kind of like the, oh, you went with this group that people
true,
don't really
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. That's actually very true. And then obviously the most recent movie reveal for Marvel was Shang-Chi.
Oh yeah, yes. I heard about that.
So good.
Interesting.
So we'll see about that, all that. But honestly,
and obviously, let's not forget the Fantastic Four, the X-Men.
True.
I mean, they're about to get their hands on some major, massive franchise properties.
True. Like, I think one of the things that really needs to get off the ground now, as opposed to waiting on it, because I think we can wait a little bit. I know your affinity, and don't reach over the table, Chad, and hit me, but I know your affinity for X-Men, but I really feel like Marvel just needs to give it a break for a little bit. Like, at least with the X-Men as a whole team franchise. Like, maybe individuals show up, you know, here and there. But I think Fox has kind of pounded into the ground kind of bit for a little bit. I think we just need a little bit of space. I don't know. That's just my personal...
It depends on how it's done.
Also true.
If Marvel, I mean, honestly...
I don't know if I'm ready to see anybody as Charles Xavier other than Patrick Stewart. That's all I'm saying. I don't think I'm ready.
James McAvoy's been doing it for a while.
But he's young.
But you don't even have... You don't have to. Like, you don't even... Like... You get, I don't know, like, I have a hard time formulating my thoughts around this, but, and people are not going to be super fond of it, but, like, just get some adamantium claws, you know, sliding open or whatever, and it's like, wait a minute, they're going to go with him that quick? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even have to be all of them.
It doesn't even have to be, like, you don't have to see
who the big one.
You don't even have to see who the actor is. Like, it could just be from, like, the back.
Yeah.
And totally go that forward with that character, which I think that'll probably be the easiest thing.
You know what I would do?
Bring back the Blob.
No, that's not it. I would start using all of your mid-credit scenes or end-credit scenes to tease for years towards something like that.
I see.
Actually, that's what I would do.
I am, though, like, pretty excited to finally see a decent Fantastic Four film. Like, honestly.
It can be done. It's not impossible.
Yeah. Like, since, you know.
I mean, The Incredibles showed us at least part of the road.
Oh, no doubt. Like, and they got two of those bad boys. So, two movies.
Really good movies. So, like, it should be able to, like, well, at least Disney, you know, can probably pull this off.
Yeah.
So, here's my last question, and it's directed towards both of you guys, but... I want to start kind of like with Chad in his thoughts, because I know Spencer may have his own thoughts, but Chad.
I'd hope that Spencer has his own thoughts.
I do too. I mean, I don't know if he's like been assimilated by some alien. We just talked about an alien movie, okay? And the hives, you know, and, you know, you're not my dad kind of stuff. So,
Oh my gosh.
Like, what are your thoughts for like the future for the next phase? So obviously this is going to be the end of what Kevin Feige has already announced as the Infinity Saga. So where do you think they're going to start focusing on next for this next, at least decade?
I mean, that's a ballpark. Very broad question. Obviously, if they're going to really embrace the Eternals, which they seem to be, that's all indications say that's not a feint. I still think it could be. Like, we're casting the Eternals, but... Just kidding, it's the Fantastic Four, you know, or whatever. But like, we didn't want to tell you before. But if they are going in the direction of the Eternals, which they are a very, very old race of beings, essentially the Celestials, which we've seen glimpses of here and there, the Eternals and the Celestials are kind of tied together. They're like sewn together into the same part of the story fabric.
Yeah.
So you could go very, very big. I think that they are for sure going to need to go way cosmic. Mm-hmm. They have so much that they can do in the cosmic space.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they've got a lot with Doctor Strange alone with different dimensions and whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's however many of those you want to make. But so Annihilation was essentially the multi-property crossover in the comics in, like, I don't know, 2004, 2005, something like that, that brought the cosmic part of the Marvel Comics universe back to the forefront, and what made what we see now as the Guardians of the Galaxy. That happened in the Annihilation storyline, where you've got Annihilus, which is the Lord of the Negative Zone, which would give you a big tie-in to something with the Fantastic Four. But Annihilus is this emperor, essentially. He owns the entire reality of the Negative Zone, almost all of it. And he decides that that's not enough, and so he's going to invade here. Then he brings all of his, like, bug warriors, and they fight all the cosmic heroes and all the cosmic races. So the Kree, the Skrulls, you've seen. The Shi'ar, we haven't seen yet. They're held by Fox, connected more to the X-Men, but, you know, who knows? We could see them. Hopefully they're not trying to make Jessica Chastain's character a Shi'ar, but maybe. Anyway, they're alien races. They fight. You've got all kinds of characters that you have seen that you know are continuing. So you've got the Guardians. We know they're continuing. You've got Captain Marvel. She's our, like, banner standard bearer for the next phase of storytelling. You've got, potentially Thor, Chris Hemsworth, and Taika Waititi have both said, like, let's do more of these.
Yeah.
Ragnarok was freaking fun. Let's do it. So, I mean, you've got cosmic level characters already that are going to stick around. So why not go further? I mean, I have been dying to see a Nova executed well. Not the Nova Corps you saw in the first Guardians, but, like,
I was going to say,
like, world mind in the helmet, like Nova, the superhero Nova.
But can they, though?
Yes, they can. Well, absolutely.
Because didn't they destroy? So didn't Thanos decimate
off camera? Yeah, we don't know what happened.
He doesn't, like, that could mean anything.
Or what it prompted the Xandarians to do. You know, to preserve something, you know.
Gotcha.
So Gunn almost put Nova into both of the Guardians in some form. He kind of did. I mean, he did in one form in the first Guardians, but
with the Nova Corps.
But I mean, that's not all you have. You have you have a number of other ones that I'm not going to be a geek and just, like, list out. But we've seen Beta Ray Bill's face,
in Ragnarok.
So I mean, there's a lot there, and then. In terms of, like, Earth, the next one that you need really is Namor.
Yeah.
Granted, they're going to have a harder road since Aquaman was so popular. But Namor and Black Panther are, like, mortal frenemies. So you've got years of storytelling you could do there. Plus a unique new visual treatment to what you see on camera. Certainly Aquaman was impressive, but that's not all that you can do with an ocean culture.
Yeah.
So anyway, they've got a lot of possibilities. I think that you're going to see some tease of it before the end of Endgame. Like, I think that we're going to see part of where they're going.
At the end of Endgame.
Absolutely.
Spencer, my question to you is, as a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you've seen pretty much the majority of the films, if not all of them.
Yeah, I don't think I've missed any.
So what is it that you would like to see most with not only just Endgame, but moving forward? Like, what are some of the character stories arcs that you want to see kind of expanded upon a little bit more? Like, do you want to see more about, you know, Thor and Captain Marvel's relationship? Or do you want to see more of, you know, Bruce Banner doing the whole Planet Hulk thing? Or what is it that you're looking forward to, not only with Endgame, but also with the future of Marvel?
Well, let's see. For the future of Marvel, I really would like to see a return of the Revengers, because that...
The Revengers.
Like, just more space stuff. Like, because Ragnarok was just an amazing movie, and I would love to see more stuff like that, especially since, like Chad said, they're, like, basically setting it up. So it makes sense to go in that direction, especially especially since they seem to be doing all the steps already.
Yeah.
As for Endgame, that one's a hard one to talk about because, like, I have no idea what they could possibly be doing.
I'm going to have to let you borrow that omnibus I have for Infinity Gauntlet then, give you a little clue or maybe some insight. I don't know. Just a thought. Don't look at me like that.
Well, I mean, not to mention, speaking of the omnibus and the way that the story played out, there's a major, major cosmic player that Fox already totally screwed up.
Yep.
That is like a key aspect of the way that the Infinity Saga unveils and unfolds beyond the gauntlet. Like, finding a way to get Silver Surfer in early.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine if the Disney-Fox merger was like ratified within the next 3 weeks and suddenly you've got Silver Surfer in the mid-credits or something of Endgame? Like, Silver Surfer is essentially, in terms of like cosmic characters, he's basically the top in terms of stature and his profile, his well-knownness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and just such a unique aesthetic. Like, he flies on a surfboard through space, and he's chrome and, like, whatever, and ridiculously powerful. That would be a fun tease.
That would be, like, all of a sudden.
And based on what we've seen thus far, here's the really unique thing. In terms of the comics, Marvel has always been overall more earthbound, and DC has been more like you've got aliens upon aliens upon aliens.
Yeah.
So for the Marvel Cinematic Universe to claim space before DC can really fix a flag there, I mean, that's a really amazing feat to try to pull off.
It's
and
really sad.
They're positioned to do it.
True, and I agree. Like, I think even if, because people will argue, well, you know, Man of Steel was, you know, he was an alien in the whole beginning. Like,
the part that was in space was Green Lantern. So
we're not gonna. Ryan Reynolds is ours as Deadpool. So looking forward at what MCU has in store and what's to be expected, or at least what's to be hoped for Phase 4, I'm really hoping that they continue with, and it's the same thing we've said over and over here on this podcast, the greatest thing they could do is keep the consistency of great storytelling and great, like, endeavors in terms of, like, trying for new and bigger things, because that's what happened. Spencer put it perfectly. You know, that's what happened with the Guardians. Like, people were like, who the heck are these people? There's a tree on the team? Well, how's that supposed to work? You know, but it turns out to be like one of the most favorite, you know, Marvel teams of this cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. Like, people love Baby Groot to the fullest. And it's so exciting to see how somebody with great vision and great execution with James Gunn took a property that was so unknown and created a smash hit with a great slew of characters, like, and a great cast as well. You know, from who would have thought, like, if you would have said like 15, 20 years ago that Dave Bautista was going to be the best, one of the best parts of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in terms of comedy, you'd be like, what are you smoking? Like, because this is Dave Bautista. All he does is wear his underwear and do Bautista bombs. Like, that. But you looking at that and then thinking about like Fantastic Four, that's what gets me excited for Fantastic Four. Like, hoping for that to be really fleshed well and to just see just finally Marvel's first family finally properly done and given the honor it's deserved on screen. So,
well, and something that they've done pretty well overall. They've had a few missteps here and there, but overall, they've done a great job of playing to their strengths. If the strength is the performer, if the strength is the director, if the strength is the source material, play to your strengths. And more often than not, you're going to come out with a win.
Yeah.
Just don't compromise.
Exactly. Like, seriously, don't start, you know, leaning off of like creating great storytelling because you just want to start putting out as many characters as you can. If you can do a great story, if you can create a great story arc and still use characters we know and love, that's fine. If it's building towards something greater, that's fine. Don't just start because of the fact that you have... It's like giving a teenager like $30. Like, just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to spend the money right away. Like, you have these characters now. You're going to have, you know, just like Uncle Ben said, with great power comes great responsibility.
I'm so tired of hearing that.
Never. I will never grow tired of hearing that. And so it's the hope that, you know what, as this franchise continues, that is the honor and the legacy that they remember, especially with the late, great Stan Lee and everything that he's left for us to continue to build off of. So let's hope that moving forward, that doesn't get forgotten or lost in the weeds. So, Spencer,
you're here.
Take it away.
This has been Extra Credit with the Filmosophers, and we'll see you next time.
That'll do.